There you go.
Test 1, 2. Very good. Very good. Amen. Praise God. One, people can say one group, and I think they rightly say, one group that is a thankless job is sometimes our first responders. Like anything, we take them for granted. You know, we expect them there when there's a fire, when there's a crime, or when there's an accident, and we soon forget them, and sometimes we're quick to criticize them. And so this morning we want to take some time, and Rosanna Parks is going to come, and she is going to share a special tribute with us this morning to first responders.
I want to say thank you for coming today. This means a lot to see you here today, because I have needed the first responders in the past. 34 years ago, I fell off the hay truck and broke my arm. Being out in the barnyard, you couldn't get the ambulance in, so they had to use the scoop stretchers, just like you used to see on Emergency. They've been there since then. Now, this wasn't the only time. They came when my sister needed help, along with when my grandfather had to be transported out, along with my mom and my father this year. I am a daughter, a sister, a mother, a grandmother, and I was a wife of a first responder. They were all volunteer responders. I can remember many nights and days as a child when my dad or my brothers, Doug and Sam, would be gone for long times and sitting there worrying if they would be okay and waiting for the door to open and close, letting me know that they were safe at home again. I remember many meals where they would have to go in the middle of it. So family members, I know what it was like when you hear the fire whistle blow and your family members would go. I also know what it's like to hear on the news at lunchtime that there's a bad fire in the city of Norwich, not knowing if, with a fire member being injured, whether it was my brother or not. I would wait for the call that would tell me that Doug, or hear that the fireman, about Doug, or hear that a fireman in Waterbury, and wait for news from my other brother was not hurt. In the Bible, it tells us to take care of the sick and the hurt. This is what you do. And what you see at work sometimes is hard not to take home with you. You've seen things and heard things that we don't need to know, but we're there to help you handle them. The family members have a hard time when Dad comes home and no one knows what had happened. But thank you for being there for the people who need you. You first responders are a family because you help each other in your off times. I saw this last fall when my dad was sick and you came to help to take him to the hospital. I also saw it when my brother was sick this winter and you took time to spend with him in the nursing homes and at his house. I want to thank the firefighter families for this. My dad was a first responder, and he started for over 60 years. He taught us children to be volunteers. He always had a smile when he told his friends about his sons, who went on to be paid men. As I was thinking about what to say, I thought about how many fire departments my father's example was touched. It started with Goshen, then went to Jordan and Quaker Hill in Waterford, went to Norwich, Ledyard, Canterbury, Preston, Waterbury, and finally down to Rupert, West Virginia. There may be more because Doug helped out a lot of other stations. I always am thankful for all of what you do, and remember that there are people praying for you that don't know your name or what the emergency is you're handling. I have three things I'd like to tell you. In the Bible, it says no greater man than the one that lays down his life. It also says that a man never stood as tall except when he stooped to help a child. And I want you to remember, we love you, and so does God. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosie. First of all, most responders on September 11 want to forget what happened on that day because of many lives that were lost, and they don't even want to talk about it today. We're reminded, it seems to be every year, when people get together, and more people are staying away because of it. But more and more people need to turn to the Lord. Things are happening, and it's time to come. It's time to find the Lord. I believe that the Lord has shown us many things, my friends. It's time to change. Too many have fallen in this life, and it is time to change. But first, change must begin with you. If you truly care, remember this, that a time will come, and it will, when you will need God. Many of us go through various circumstances from week to week, month to month, year to year. We brush it off and think that things will be all right. We can make it without God. We can make it without the Lord. But you know, it seems to be that things get worse. We don't pray. We don't read God's word. We don't go to church. And then we expect to hear from God. We still will, but we better be sincere in our prayers. He'll come to you, his word says, if we truly want him, if we truly need him. Believe me, you will cry, God help me. I know, I was there one day, I prayed, where are you, God? Do you care? I found him one day. That was over 50 years ago. He cared, he came to me to help me, to deliver me, to save my soul, to set me free. And you know, he's still setting people free today. We see people in the fire departments today that they're all falling away. People that are being separated through divorce. And a lot of people in the fire company are dwindling away. And they're putting out words, you know, we need your help. We need your help. But change has to take place. It begins within. It begins within the lives of people. And they don't see that. Isaiah 43, chapter 1. It says, God has redeemed his people, but now, this says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who has formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. See, God is speaking here, the grace, the power, the love of the Messiah. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overthrow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. You know, when I read that, I thought about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Because they walked through the fire and the furnace. Their hairs on their heads were not even singed. Their clothes were not even burned. And when they came out, they didn't even smell of fire, of smoke. And through it all, people that looked in, they said they saw a fourth man walking in them. And it looked like that was the sons of God. People believed that was Jesus in there. You know, God will be with you if you go through the troubles. If you need him dearly, God will help you. God is faithful. Many things can happen in life. But God says, turn yourself over to me. Look to me. Don't look anywhere else, but look to me. Who are first responders? When I first joined the fire service with the Mohegan Fire Company back in 1968, at the age of 22, I had a full head of hair back then. I was happy-go-lucky, things were going on, you know. I would jump into my fire gear, I would run into structure fires, and I would do all kinds of things. I had a friend that stayed with me, you know, when he would come, and he's here today, and by the name of Bill. Him and I are celebrating this year 50 years together in the fire service. He was a firefighter, EMS or EMT, individual. And him and I are both life members. You know, and we're both now in our 70s, but we thank God for that time together. I'm still active. He's retired, but we both go to meetings. We both keep up on what's happening. And we thank God for the opportunity. We're still in the same company over 50 years now. And even though I served as a firefighter, fire police, and chaplain most of these years, we are both proud to serve in that capacity. You know, God was with the both of us. You know, and you know, even though we've gone through situations, we recognize that we were not alone. You know, when things happen, you know, we could have died many times in fires, or things could have happened. We could have been struck by a car, at a car accident. But God always protected us. We always knew, you know, that we were under someone's protection. You know, we always knew. We had a conversation the other night that when we saw firefighters going through various circumstances, you know, firefighters that were dying, different other individuals that were going through hard times, and a lot of individuals do go through hard times as firefighters. They don't reach out to anyone. They try to keep it secret, you know, and they get depressed. But they need to reach out and try to get some help for themselves. And I've had many firefighters come to me over the years and say, how can I change? How can I, you know, look and get a difference in my life? And then I start to share with them about the Lord and about getting peace in their mind and in their heart. As the pastor was saying, you know, about first responders, as firefighters, EMTs, police officers, nurses, they're all important. They have a job to do, you know. And, you know, their jobs that they have to do that are out there are tireless jobs. But God gives them the strength, as God gave me the strength. They help people. They save lives. Every day, they give of themselves, risking their own lives. You would never hear anyone complain. These men and women would give all their time, their lives, when a call came in. Some would leave their jobs and go because they cared. They were not superheroes, you know, and they didn't pretend to be superheroes. They didn't glorify in themselves. They didn't put on special uniforms and say, I'm a fireman. Look at me, you know. They did have dress uniforms like this, and they marched in parades. They went to funerals. They went to weddings, you know. A lot of things, you know, to dress up. And these were dress-up uniforms. But that's all they were. So they were not superheroes. They were just human beings. They were servants. Helping serve one another. Men and women willing to help someone at a moment's notice. Would you give up your time? When you saw someone sick on the side of the road, would you go and help them? Think about it. Someone hurt. We see in the Bible people that are hurt, that are laying on the side of the road. Some just pass them by or go across the street. But there's a few that are willing to give up whatever they're doing and go over and help them, even carry them to a safe place and bound up their wounds and bring healing to their lives, you know. You know, not too many are willing to do that. Not everyone can do something like that. No one is turned away that needs help. Even in the midst of danger, and you know, you never know what a person may do when you go to help someone. If they're going to be dangerous, or they're going to be calm, or whatever, but when you go to help someone, you do what you can. Whatever the call, they're ready. Whether a storm, a fire, rain, you pledge to help and come. Where you're at, as you run out, as others run away. I'm sorry, as some run out, many run in. I saw many firefighters in the past. There were new members. When they saw a lot of flames, they got scared and they wouldn't run in. And you know, some understood that because they were afraid. But you know, after a while, they overcame their fear. because God can take over in your life, and He can remove that fear out of you. Also remember that God has a plan in a person's life, that you live and not die. If you have a plan, remember, let God be the head of that plan for your life. If you have your own plan, then you're on your own. Think about that. Many times I've heard persons say, I've got my own plan. I don't need God's plan. Well, I said, then you're on your own. If you don't need God's help, you're on your own then. Don't ask God for anything. When the time comes, you get sick, you hurt, you're hurt. Don't ask God for anything if you think you got your own plan. In Jeremiah 18:12, it says, it is hopeless if you follow your own plans. There are many that say that they don't need God, but they do. For God knows what's best for you, but we turn him away. Some people say you can't get ahead with God, but without him we lose. I thank God. All things are possible with him. And I'm not a loser. I'm a winner. I'm victorious with God, and so are you. We look to the Lord, and we know that He is with us. Don't listen to what people have to say, but listen to God. Walk with Him. He's the answer. Obey God. Don't listen too much to what your friends has to say or think. It's not important what they say or what they think. It's important to what God knows what is best for you. Think upon it. God will tell you what you need if you ask Him. You'll get a message from God. If you don't hear what God is saying, don't give up. You know, too many of us quit. We give up when we don't hear at a moment's notice. People will tell you you're a failure if you don't do it now. God does not make failures. What is the will of God? Just ask Him. If you don't, the Bible says in James 2:4 and James 4:2, you have not because you ask not. Doesn't that make sense? You have not because you ask not. I thank God for all things that He's willing to give us. Praise God. Glory to God. In the Gospel of St. John, as Pastor gave us a gift today, gift of the Bible, John chapter 4, verse 10, it said, Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is, who says to you, give me drink, you would have asked of him, he would have given you living water. And the woman said unto him, sir, You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and the children of his cattle? God is willing to give us living water. And I thank God. And he told him, I thirst not, so neither come hither and draw. So God is willing to give us great things if we ask Him. As first responders, we are reminded every day of our calling. Are you willing to do anything? Anything? Even at your age, I was told a few days back, you know, if something comes in and you're on the highway, you're going along and you see something happen, a bad accident, will you stop and help them? And I says, I most certainly would. You know, I'd put my lights on, I'd get out, I would do what I could. You know, may not be much, but I would do what I could to help that person survive. It's all about life and death. Life is important, you know, to help save someone. As first responders, we are reminded of our calling in service about saving lives. We all believe in helping people in need. It is our destiny to become someone's miracle. So when we help people and we're able to save someone's life, I've heard many times, one time after another, even in hospital, you know, a woman way back when called a nurse, oh dear, you are my miracle, you are my angel, you helped save my life. We never question why they do what they do. Because they know this is what they were chosen for. When each one was praying, they were told to be the best they could be. Even though they may not be able to save everyone, you may see horrible things at times. Every day will be different. And I've seen horrible things over the years. Horrible accidents. People losing their lives. My friend Bill, the same thing. We've seen people die in fires, die in car accidents, you know, many horrible things. But we also seen great and beautiful things, babies being born, you know. We've seen people saved, you know, from car accidents and live. People that have had heart attacks and lived, you know, which is a great thing. You know, people brought back from death to life. Things that happen, and then there will be days to deal with. But with all this, we are told to believe in ourselves. And don't let it get to you. Always be proud. Always be proud of who yourselves. You are in what you do. Whoever you see yourself in responding to a call for help, you become God's gift to them, whatever you believe or not. You do what you can to help save that life. That's what you are worthy of it all. Don't stop. Don't give up. What do we all hope for? We all hope for a life to be saved. My friend read Ecclesiastes chapter 1 today, a time, you know, things that happen in time. Do you have a time for God? Do you have time for Him today? Do you make time for God in your life? Things do happen unexpectedly. We are not ready for it. Just like what happened in the World Trade Center. We will never forget, even though it was 18 years ago. You know, we don't want it to ever happen again. But it may will. Or even greater things may happen. What have we learned from it? If anything. It's quiet this morning. So if you want something from God, you have to ask God for it in prayer. Getting things from God. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. If we don't seek, if we don't seek something from God, we're not going to find it. We're not going to get it. Means we don't want it. If you don't want the things of God, you're not going to get it. It's as simple as that. For everyone who asks, the Bible says, by faith receives it. And he who seeks finds it. And to him or her who those who knocks, it shall be open. You know? It shall be open unto you. These things God wants to give to us. You know? God wants to give to us so we can give to one another. John chapter 14, verse 13 says, whosoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Whatsoever you ask, whatsoever, I like that, whatsoever. Sometimes we think that we're limited about what we can ask God for. Oh, I can't ask God for that. He won't give me that, you know, so I'm not going to ask God for that. I need a new car, so I'm not going to ask God for that. I need a new house. I've been not asking God for that. I need healing with cancer, so I'm not asking God for that because I don't think He can do that. Now, according to His word, He says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do it. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack do we lack anything today? Lack wisdom? That's what it says. Let him ask God, who gives to all men. Literally, we all need something from the Lord today. I need more than one thing in my life. My wife needs more than one thing in her life. She needs healing, but she needs more than that in her life as well. You know, I think many of us that are here today need more than something in our lives that man can provide or woman can provide. You know, we need something only God can give to us. You know, we're sitting here, we go to church, every week, sometimes on Wednesday night. And many of us pray, many of us read God's word, but we are lacking something. Will God do it if we ask? You know, God is a big God. You know, he's not a little God that we can only ask him for certain things. But God is a big God. You know, I have people come to my door, it seems to be every week, of different religions. And they're saying, do you think God can do this? Do you think God can do that? I says, God can do whatever he wants to do. You know, and they try to question me. They try to stomp me on different things, the Jehovah's Witnesses of the Mormon Church and different other religions that come. And I says, if you want to talk about the Lord in Scripture, I says, you're not going to challenge me, I says, but I'll share with you what God's Word has to say out of my Bible if you're willing to listen. But, you know, then they start to say, well, I've got something to do. I'll come back another time. So they get a little scared, you know. Now, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He doesn't turn a deaf ear, even if we sin. He doesn't turn a deaf ear to us, you know. He still will listen. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, and we know that we have the request which we ask from him. So these things, God is saying, come. Come just as you are. I thank God that his word speaks to us in different ways here. So here on this particular day, you know, God shows us through his word how we're to live. You know, not to live by man's ways, but to live by his ways. We thank God that he shows us here in this manner that we are not servants of man, but we are servants of God. So here today, on this day, First Responders Day, there's, although there only may be few, the word got out. In 1 John chapter 10, verse 11, says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. This is the promise of God. David said in Psalm 23, I am the good shepherd. You don't need no other God than Jesus Christ. I am the good shepherd. I spoke upon that one day at a service about Psalm 23. And it touched many people's lives that, you know, the shepherd speaks to the flock. Sometimes the flock goes off in a different direction and the shepherd tries to bring them back. Shepherd brings them peace, brings them love, brings them understanding. They may go in a different direction, but the Lord will bring them back. You know, God brings them love, brings them help. Why do first responders do what they do? As Chaplain Matt said, it's a higher calling, nothing else. It is that for me, even as a chaplain, that you can't get any higher than that. I thank God for this opportunity because I went from being a firefighter, as I said, to fire police, and then to a chaplain. Been a chaplain longer than being a firefighter and being a fire police officer. But I thank God that he called me to these areas, that I was able to help people. I've done more funerals over the years, weddings, baptisms, but, you know, firefighters recognize God's hand upon my life. And I hope that many more will come to God's saving knowledge. I ask that you pray and remember the firefighters in the various departments. And not only that, I ask today that we all stand together here in this church. I'd like to pray for you today and believe God for whatever needs that you may have in your lives. This is important, that God would help you in your understanding. God will bring something that you need within your own lives. You know, many today are going about and they don't know what's happening in their own lives, and they need a touch from God. So can we all stand together today here in this place? Thank God. Thank God. Thank the Lord. Thank God. I ask that every head be bowed, every eye closed, no one touching one another, no one looking around. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for everyone here. Lord, it's not by chance that we are here today. We are here today because, Father God, you have called us. And Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, we have come. And Lord Jesus, I pray that as every head bowed and every eye closed, that you'd speak to every heart right now. If there is someone today that has a need, that is hurting in their heart, in their mind, and they need a touch from you, Lord, something's going on in their life, whether it's physical, spiritual, Lord, we just turn it over to you. And Lord, I pray that God, that we all look to you right now. Lord God, for everyone that is here, as it said, if someone has a particular need and they need God's touch today, I am going to ask if you would raise a hand and let God see that hand, and that you would believe the Lord for your touch. No one looking around, no one touching one another, no one talking. Just raise a hand. Let God see that hand and believe God for him to touch you right now. Thank God. I see those hands. Thank God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Let God see those hands. Oh, thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Even for a need for your children, for your grandchildren, whatever it may be, let God see that hand. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You may lower your hands at this time. Praise God. Today we're not here to embarrass you or to call you out or to do whatever, but I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to ask that you remain where you're at. And as I pray this prayer, I pray God's touch upon your life, that Lord Jesus, that you would remember where you came from and where you're at right now. You stand here today knowing that Lord Jesus Christ is here today in this room. We can't see him, but we know he's here by Spirit and truth. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for all that are here today, those that raised their hands, and Lord, those that didn't. And Lord, I pray for the needs of the people, dear God, whether physical or spiritual, that Lord, that you bring help to them today. Lord, we pray, dear God, for those with back pain, neck pain, stomach pain, God, that you bring healing to their bodies, Lord. Help them, dear God. Lord God, I pray for the needs of their family members. Lord, someone with cancer today. Lord Jesus, dear God, by your stripes, they are healed. I Claim Lord Jesus. Set people free, dear God. Deliver people, Lord, of drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, Lord God. If truly people want to be healed and delivered, I claim that for them today, Lord Jesus. Lord, we reach out to you, dear God, and Lord, by faith, we ask this right now, Almighty God. Have your way, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I pray, as everyone is standing here in this room, if there be someone this day that does not know you as Lord and Savior, and they need a change in their life, it is time to seek the Lord while he may be found. This is a time for you to come to him and know him as Lord and Savior. I'm going to ask everyone in the room today to pray this prayer so if one or more does not know him as Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask that you, everyone today, would pray this prayer as you would follow me by accepting Jesus, inviting him to come in to your lives, knowing him in law as Lord and Savior, by saying, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I ask today that you cleanse me and forgive me of all my sins. Today, I invite you to come into my heart. In Jesus' name, I believe you are Lord and Savior, and I thank you. It is finished. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you.